like us to do this, okay? Instead of me praying, maybe you just spend 30 seconds just to pray for me, because this is a very, very important message. I feel that the Lord has something to speak to us. So can you just be silent for a while and just pray for me and pray for yourself that God will speak to you this morning. Okay? Thank you. Father, I pray for myself this morning. I pray, O God, that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing unto you, God. I pray, O God, that the words that are spoken, Lord, are not my words, but the words from your Spirit, that it will go forth to accomplish the work for which it was sent forth. And that it will not return void, O God. So, Father, I want to pray for your people that your word will be falling on fertile ground this morning. That, Lord, the hearts will receive the word and will be able to produce fruit, 30, 60, or even 100-fold. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to continue preaching on the series that we have embarked on several weeks ago on the book of 1 Corinthians. And today I will be preaching to you from chapter 2, verse 1 to 16 on the topic of wisdom from God. How many of you want to be wise? It's not a trick question, okay? So I want to start by quoting from Apostle James, from James 3:17. This is how he described wisdom from God. He says, "The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." If we personalize this passage to describe a person who has godly wisdom, a wise person is therefore a person who is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Imagine that every one of us are like this. How it would impact the church, our family, and the world if all of us are like that. There will not be any relationship problems. By the way, church, the reason we are preaching through this series is because we want to see that through this series of learning together, the relationships in the church will improve. And today's sermon, the goal, the objective, the target is really to teach us how to gain wisdom, how to be the wise person that God wants us to become. God's wisdom for us to be wise is not a wishful thinking. It is within our reach. We can be wise. God wants us to become wise. So let us go through the text. It's a little bit long, okay, 16 verses, but please bear with me. The Apostle Paul said, "Brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." How come? Okay, sorry. "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For they, if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let us begin to dig deeper. The Apostle Paul was tasked to bring the message. He was the messenger here. And this passage has told us that when Paul was bringing this message to the church of Corinthians, he brought the message with fear and trembling. Paul was bringing the message with fear and trembling. Perhaps Paul felt the weight of responsibility entrusted by God to him to bring the message to the Corinthians church. Have you ever been asked in your life to do something that is so important, like a matter of life or death, where you feel that weight of responsibility on you so heavily, that if you do not deliver what you have been asked to, it will have a severe consequences. When I was thinking about Paul in this passage, this movie, The Lord of the Rings, by J.R.R. Tolkien, came into my mind. And this character was Frodo Baggins. You know, Frodo Baggins, he was tasked to bring the ring to the Mount of Doom to destroy it, right? You all look like never watch movie, yeah? Only I watch movies, yeah? So Frodo Baggins felt the weight of responsibility that he guarded the ring so selflessly to ensure that his mission of destroying the ring is accomplished. Like Frodo Baggins, Paul so carefully guarded the message. Although this is not exactly like the movie, yeah? But if you read that passage, you can feel and you can imagine that Paul was really guarding the message so carefully. And why was Paul doing this? Why was he in fear and trembling? And why was he really guarding the message so selflessly? Because he wanted to ensure that his credentials and his noble background does not come in the way of the message. He was guarding the purity of the message so that people will not say that this message is from Paul, the wise man. But people will say that this message is from God. So in order for not people to be confused that it is through the intellect or the cleverness of Paul, Paul has to put himself backwards and put the message to be the fore so that people will know that this is really a message from God. Now, this is very, very important, especially when the church is very, very young, when doctrinal foundations were forming. This is so, so important. And Paul did it to the extent of really lowering himself. And he used this statement, he said, I resolve to know nothing. I resolve to know nothing. In other words, Paul was saying that I will not leverage on my credentials and my experience that Paul really had. You know, Paul could have easily put himself forward because of his rich and noble background. As you read in the Bible, Paul was an aristocrat. He was a noble man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He had power and position to make decisions. But Paul humbled himself for the sake of the message. You know, church, this is the kind of humility that God looks in each of us. Especially preachers, for those who stand up on the platform, we have to be very, very careful to guard our pride. Paul's humility is to be emulated. Humility is a great virtue. The scripture says in 1 Peter 5:6 that the more you humble yourself, the higher God will exalt you. Do you want God to praise you, to exalt you? Humble yourself. How do we humble ourselves? You cannot just wake up in the morning and say, I am humble. It doesn't happen that way. You know, this is what C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis says, you cannot be humble by trying, but you can be humble by serving. You know C.S. Lewis, the person who invented the Chronicles of Narnia, again a movie. We think that a person who is lofty like this will not go down to the ground and serve. You know what C.S. Lewis did? He said, during my off days when I was learning how to be humble, I learned how to serve the lowly. I took my off day to go and serve and do whatever work that people want me to do. C.S. Lewis humbled himself to do whatever people want him to do. And to be humble, it simply means to be realistic about yourself. To be realistic, don't see yourself so up, don't see yourself so down. To be realistic. One of my favorite teachers of the Word of God is Dallas Willard. And he suggested three things if you want to learn to be humble. And all these three words start with P. He said, number one, don't pretend. Just be yourself. You know how difficult it is to pretend, to put up a face. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. And sometimes it takes a lot of money too. And the second P he said is, do not presume. By that he meant that do not think you need to be treated in a certain way. You carry yourself in life thinking that you have to be respected and treated in a certain way. You will be disappointed. And he said the third P is do not push, but stand for what is right. State what is right, but do not force it on others. Do not have to always win an argument. Do not push. Do not presume. And do not pretend. Let's move on. I sidetracked. I'm not supposed to say that actually. What was Paul bringing? Paul was bringing the message of wisdom. And what is the message of wisdom not? The message of wisdom is not a conventional wisdom. Neither it is an ancient or traditional belief, grandmother tales. It is also not a wisdom that comes from Tun Dr. Mahathir or Lee Kuan Yew or Donald Trump or Jack Ma. It's not the wisdom of the ruler of this world. But it is a wisdom from God. This wisdom that Paul is bringing to the church is the wisdom that comes from above, that comes from God. And this wisdom has been preserved, has been hidden. When things are hidden, a message is hidden, you cannot see, right? So it has been hidden from people that normal people would not be able to see it. And even the smartest, the rulers, those who are in lofty positions, don't understand what it is. But it says that this wisdom, God has actually prepared before time for us, for me, for you. The wisdom from God has been prepared before time for us. It was planned by God, not by accident. It was planned by God for our glory. Isn't it wonderful that God has great plans for us? God wants us to be wise, and He planned carefully. And He gave us this message. And this message was revealed by the Spirit of God. Although Paul was the bringer of the message, but the message actually was from God. And for us to understand the deep meaning of wisdom, we need the Spirit to help us. Because the Spirit of God is the revealer of wisdom. Now, we say, how does the